They're not good enough to start. They're not even good enough to play. But they do talk a good game. So come join Lou and Jose from the sidelines, where all the best sports discussions happen anyway. Welcome in to the Bench Warmers Podcast.
Welcome into the program, everyone. I am Lou Ruggieri. That is Jose Ortiz. And this is the Bench Warmers Podcast. Wherever, whenever, and however you happen to be listening, we appreciate you taking some time out of your day to spend it with us. We are going to make it worth your while. This is Season 2, Episode 35, our 85th show overall. Go back and listen to all of our previous shows if you'd like to hear some of the things we had to say early in the football season. We'll be touching on some of those if you don't want to do that a little bit later. Some predictions that did not come quite to fruition like we thought. Either way, you can go listen to iHeartRadio, Amazon, we're on Odyssey, Anchor, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcast, you can find us there. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, at the Benchwarmers Podcast, at the BW Pod on Twitter. Please follow, rate, review. We need all the support we can get. Playoff picture is very crystallized and clear. We're going to go through all the games and touch on each and every one and make some predictions about what to expect in the wild card. We're going to also touch a little on some of the coaching firing vacancies. We're going to kind of go through those as we go through this next segment in the extra points, which normally in the extra point, we go through each and every game and kind of give you a little synopsis of everything. We're going to kind of pick and choose a little bit this week because a lot of the games in week 18 were essentially meaningless, as I'm sure you've figured out by now. So not a little bit different. And this for the first week 18 in history. Very interesting. I have a lot of thoughts about the week 18 because I've seen a lot of things this last week, Jose, that, this record, that record, this record. And I'm a little possessive of our previous football records in a way, because I'm kind of like, well, yeah, TJ Watt did tie the record for sacks, but he took an extra game. You know, Jalen Waddle broke the singles rookie record of receptions, but he did it in an extra game. So I don't know. It just got me thinking a lot about the records in the NFL and all these things we're going to be seeing now that, mm-hmm. I feel like we almost have to grade on a curve, which ultimately, just to explain to you the rabbit hole that I fell down earlier, I was thinking about the rushing single season rushing records. And I forgot that O.J. Simpson ran for 2,003 yards in 1973 in 14 games.
Yeah.
And so as much as you might not like O.J. Simpson for a lot of off the field reasons, on the field, if you go in a per game basis, there is no better running back than O.J. Simpson.
Yeah. He's one of the all-time great running backs. Certainly not one of the all-time great people, but on the field, he's one of the all-time great running backs, like you said. So yeah, it's actually remarkable. It goes across all sports, actually. Even in baseball, if you want to really, really get down the rabbit hole, you start looking at baseball. Babe Ruth hit 60 home runs in 154 games, and then, you know, the records have been broken since then, but it's been 162 games, and let's not get into the PED discussion. But, you know, this goes through all sports. This is really just different eras, and that's really what you kind of have to understand. It's just there's a different era. We're now in a new era of football where now there's 17 games instead of 16 games, and all these records kind of do have to be taken with a grain of salt. All of them are going to be broken.
Yeah.
Even career records, because poor people are going to have an extra game now.
Sure. Absolutely. And so that was the rabbit hole I fell down earlier. But getting back to week 18, the big takeaway I had, aside from like the whole record thinking, was just a lot of these games, like we said, didn't really matter. But I took away a lot from week 18, and I found that you could tell what teams cared and what teams didn't. I don't know if I can say it better than that. It just seemed like some teams with nothing left to fight for, they still fought, and some didn't. It just, I'm not sure, it's a weird note for some of these teams to end on. It's just, you end on a high note or a low note. And we'll get into those specifically. I mean, the Lions we'll touch on them in a minute, but the Lions really impressed me. Even they were going against the second string Packers, but they had absolutely nothing to live for this week. So.
Yeah. I think my big takeaway, honestly, we were just actually talking about this off air. My big takeaway is just the state of the quarterback position in the NFL. I was just really discouraged. It's just not good. And I don't really know what's happening. I really was focused on Carson Wentz, the atrocious game he played this weekend. And I know that it's just one game, but He was brought here to upgrade over Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And he's like, oh my God, what a terrible quarterback he is. He had 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions this season.
Yeah.
It just feels like, I don't know. There's just such a gap between the Mahomes, Rodgers,
Brady,
that group, that maybe Josh Allen. I don't know if I can even put Josh Allen in that group anymore, but
Russell Wilson, minus most of this year.
Yeah, like there's just such a gap between the upper echelon top 5-6 quarterbacks. Like when you go from 6 to 7, it's just a precipitous drop.
Yep.
And you're kind of forced to, like, what do you do if you're a GM? Do you go try the free agent market? Do you just say, hey, we're just going to keep drafting rookies and see until one hits? Like, I don't know what you do.
Yeah, I mean, there's a theory that I've heard, and I wish I could remember the first time I heard it, because I thought it may have been you. I don't even know. I think, you know, the value of finding that quarterback in the draft is so important that I almost don't see the reason not to take more than one quarterback per draft. I mean, go back to Washington when they were the Redskins. They took RG3 number 2 overall, and then they took Kirk Cousins in the 4th round. And I mean, no one would have ever predicted that out of those two quarterbacks that Kirk Cousins would by far and away be the more successful of the two. But had they not done that, you know, just for a kind of a insurance policy, or not even, you know, who even knows what the reasoning was, that it's just funny how things kind of work out that way.
Yeah.
And with the value that finding that gold mine of a quarterback can be, I don't know why teams don't spend more, you know, that 4th round or 5th round pick on just take a chance. You know, you're just, it's a lottery ticket.
Yeah. Well, you should be drafting at least one quarterback every year. If he doesn't work out, cut him. Like that's what you should be doing every season.
And speaking of late round quarterbacks, let's jump into the extra point. We're going to get through a couple of these games pretty quickly. My Cowboys just roughing up the Eagles in basically a meaningless game. Man, the Cowboys love playing well in games that don't matter. I mean, man, this was if this game mattered, man, this would be such an impressive stat line. Dak Prescott, 21 of 27, 295 yards, 5 touchdowns. Zeke almost ran for 100 yards. And it couldn't matter any less. 51-26. My only hope is that the Cowboys end the season on a high note, which is fine. 12-5. The Eagles end 9-8. They both made the playoffs. I just hope that the Cowboys didn't kind of use up all their mojo just beating up on an Eagles team that didn't really care about playing, and then they're going to get rolled by your 49ers next week. But we'll touch on that game a little while.
Only thing I'll add is I've been very impressed with Jalen Hurts this season. I think that I'm going to say that you were right. I was wrong. He certainly belongs in the NFL.
Yeah, another quarterback that definitely belongs in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes. This game was much closer than anticipated. They beat the Denver Broncos, Chiefs 12-5, Broncos 7-10. Mahomes, you know, good enough game. He played through the ball 44 times, which I thought was a little bit lot. Mecole Hardman had a good game, 100 yards receiving. And, you know, this overall, Vic Fangio is no longer the coach of the Broncos. Andy Reid got his 250th win, which he joins. I think he's like 5th all time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty elite class of coach. So that's pretty much the only thing I took away from that game.
Yeah, the Broncos, I mean, the Chiefs kind of escaped with a win there. I didn't think they were going to get that win, but the Chiefs have been rolling. They're looking really strong, and I think we were just very lucky that they didn't get the AFC is very lucky they didn't get the bye, and everything has to go through Arrowhead now because they'd be in trouble. I think there is some vulnerability on that offense, which hasn't quite been clicking.
An offense that didn't really click because most of their team wasn't there. It was the Cincinnati Bengals. They really didn't have to win this game, and it kind of showed. It was basically Ja'Marr Chase was out there just to break the single-season Bengals record set by Chad Johnson. And that was really it. Case Keenum. Although I will say Case Keenum playing for Baker Mayfield, I mean, he looked a lot like Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, he had a Baker.
He had 176 yards, 2 touchdowns, but he had no interceptions. So it's a little better. It's a better Baker.
Yeah.
Dearness Johnson, you know, the one-time fishing boat captain or whatever he was, 25 carries, 123 yards, and a touchdown. Even Jarvis Landry got in the mix with a touchdown, 75 yards. You know, Browns beat the Bengals 21-16, but ultimately meaningless. The Browns, I think, are my candidate for most disappointing team of the year because I picked them to go to the Super Bowl and they ended up in the toilet bowl. So
I picked them to go to the Super Bowl too, but I realized in like week four or five that that was a dumb pick and I had moved on from that. I'm not taking anything other than that the Bengals were resting and realized that they were not getting the number one. They had a chance to get the number one seed if things fell the right way. Everyone knew things weren't going to fall that way. So this was a kind of, like you said, a meaningless game. It means absolutely nothing. The Browns win, and yes, they are in discussion for the most disappointing team. I think they have another team in mind, though.
More on that in a bit.
Yeah.
Let's see. As the aforementioned Lions, they ended up beating the Packers 37-30. The Packers end with the best in football 13-4 record, the number one seed. They get the bye. The Lions 3-13-1, which is the craziest line I think I've ever seen to end a season with. And you know, the Lions, I was impressed by the Lions. They wanted to win this game. Jared Goff stayed in the game. You know, Amon-Ra St. Brown looks like he might be the real deal. And, you know, the Packers, without Aaron, I mean, and obviously, you know, it's going to sound kind of like a not breaking analysis or anything, but, you know, without Aaron Rodgers, or maybe I'll say it this way. From what I've seen with Jordan Love, albeit it's been a limited supply of plays, he's not the guy. And that's not even comparing him to Aaron Rodgers. He just looks lost sometimes, and he doesn't make good decisions. And I just think that the Packers need to just kind of accept the fact that they whiffed and maybe just let him go and then give Aaron Rodgers whatever he wants to stick around, because you talk about precipitous drops. I mean, the drop between Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love is, you know, it doesn't get much further than that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I will say that first of all, I don't think them cutting Jordan Love, like, You still need to have a backup on your team, right? So I'm not sure that Jordan Love is the backup. But just, it's hard to really draw any conclusions on Jordan Love for me. He just hasn't played consistently enough in games that matter and situations that matter for me to really be like, oh, Jordan Love is not the guy. But they need to do whatever they can to keep Aaron Rodgers. That's really the bottom line. I don't care if he says, like, I sell me your house. Like, you do whatever this man wants to stay and I've heard that they're going to franchise Davante Adams, so perhaps that convinces him to stay. I don't know, but you got to do whatever this man wants. The Packers, to me, are clearly the best team in the NFL. So,
yeah, I don't think it's particularly close at the moment.
Yep.
In the battle of the now coachless teams, the Bears lose to the Vikings 31-17. Both coaches end their tenures at their respective teams on Black Monday. Matt Nagy for the Bears, that he's been fired basically since like week two, I think, more or less. And Mike Zimmer, I mean, he was kind of on again, off again, but that team has been just so loaded with talent over the last few years, and it just feels like they've kind of come up short pretty much every single year, and no one can really point to a good reason why other than coaching.
Yeah, absolutely. The Bears, I think the Bears, you look at it like, hey, look, you drafted Mitch Trubisky, right? That was it. That was done. And you have stuck with him, and that kind of got you off to a bad start, and you didn't have a chance to kind of recover. That's kind of reason why I think people are afraid to draft rookie quarterbacks. You end up with Mitch Trubisky a lot of times. But the Vikings were clearly much more disappointing, even though they got the win. You know, there's going to be teams in the offseason. We're going to be breaking down teams and talking about each of the teams that didn't make the playoffs and kind of like what directions they should go in. This is a team that's a candidate to kind of blow it up where, hey, listen, let's trade away Kirk Cousins. Let's trade away Dalvin Cook. Let's get some draft picks, see what we can do. You have Justin Jefferson. You really just kind of need to rebuild this thing, because even if Kirk Cousins is, let's say he's a top 12 quarterback, their team overall is just not good enough to do more very much in the NFC.
Yeah, and we'll touch on that more in the offseason because I don't know. I have differing opinions, but it's too much to get into right now. Yep. So, and you talk about the state of the quarterback playing this next team's the Washington football team being up on the New York Giants 22-7. Giants end the season at 4-13. Washington ends at 7-10. I know that this is an 18-game season, but this is the only the second time in the Giants' history they've ever lost 13 games. They have been a mess pretty much this entire year. Jake Fromm was their quarterback. You know, Saquon, I think, is gone. Daniel Jones is gone. You know, they have a kind of a ragtag group of receivers that seem like they've had talent and promise, but just couldn't put it together. And then on the other side of the ball, I mean, Taylor Heinicke, you know, I started off the year kind of saying he could be the guy, and I'm ending the year saying, I don't know if he's going to be the guy, because it's another team that has so much talent on the offensive side of the ball, and it just they just can't quite seem to put it all together.
Yeah, and the Giants fired Joe Judge, their head coach. Yes. Dave Gettleman stepped down, retired, apparently. Saquon Barkley, I think, is back on his fifth-year deal next year, and I think the fifth year of his rookie deal, and I think
Daniel Jones
is also coming back just still in the rookie deal. But, man, this is another team which is really, really disappointing, and this is a pretty meaningless game. It's unfortunate because the Washington football team were supposed to be better than this year, and their defense really fell apart, and it had really not a lot to do with Chase Young. It just seems like their defense really just took a step back. And you're right about Taylor Heinicke. He's not the guy. He's a great backup. He's a guy. He's Nick Foles, right? He's just a guy, you know, Nick Foles, Ryan Fitzpatrick, a guy you have on your bench. You know, hey, I need you for 5 games. Come out in here and play. But for a full 16, 17, not so much.
It was the first time that Washington has been 2-0 versus the Giants since 2011.
Wow.
Yeah. Another shocking stat. Let's see. I just had it in front of me. Hang on. This is the biggest disappointment of the week for me by far. The Indianapolis Colts somehow, some way, losing to the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars end the season 3-14. The Colts controlled their own destiny, winning they were in, and they just come out and fall flat on their faces. And the shocking stat I was going to tell you is that Indianapolis has lost 7 straight road games versus Jacksonville, which is crazy. I had to double check it. I was like, there's no way that that's true. And sure enough, this game, I don't know what happened in this game. I genuinely don't. The Colts offense just did not show up. The Colts defense, I thought, was going to eat Trevor Lawrence alive because he's been playing pretty poorly all season, and embarrassing isn't even the word. I don't know what you do if you're the Colts, because the Colts to me had all of the ingredients necessary to make a deep playoff run and upset some big name teams, and now they're just going to be watching.
Well, I think I kind of know what the Jaguars did. They just said we're not going to let Jonathan Taylor beat us.
But I feel like a lot of teams have said that.
Yeah, I guess that's a fair point. I guess that's a really fair point. And they weren't able to could do that. But they forced Carson Wentz to be a quarterback. If you've been looking and watching the past few games, Carson Wentz has just been basically like just really not throwing the ball at all. Just barely having any yards, any passing attempts. They've just been like, we're just going to give the ball to Jonathan Taylor because that's our best chance. And they were successfully at least slowing down Jonathan Taylor, not saying he was completely shut down, but he wasn't having the big time, oh my goodness, this is Jonathan Taylor type games. He was just having a regular game. And it's really disappointing because all offseason you kept hearing that the Colts were going to be a Super Bowl team when they upgraded from Phillip Rivers to Carson Wentz. They were 11-5 last year with Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
And 9-8 this year with Carson Wentz. I mean, and what makes it worse is that you look over and Philadelphia is headed to the playoffs. And it's really, really tough way to go out for the Colts and Wentz. And I don't really know what you do other than try and do it again next year. I mean, what are you supposed to do? Carson Wentz is your guy. Who are you getting? Who are you going out and getting?
That's a good question. Another team that's going to be looking for a quarterback next year is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They went out and did what they had to do, beating the Ravens 16-3. Steelers make the playoffs 9-7-1. The Ravens do not at 8-9. And, you know, give credit to the Ravens. They've suffered more injuries at key positions than any other team this year, and they've managed to keep it interesting pretty much the entire year. Steelers, I mean, I think we owe them an apology of sorts. Yeah. They, you know, when they started off 1-3, I think we all kind of buried them. And I'm impressed. I mean, well, there's nothing else I can say. I mean, like we said, TJ Watt, you know, tied Michael Strahan, 22 and a half sacks with an extra game, but.
Well, Strahan did have the sack given to him, if you remember, famously by Brett Favre. Yeah. So,
it's true. Very true.
Listen, it was a close game. Still, you know, you said 16-3. It was actually 16-13. I think you just misspoke there. But, like, it was just the Steelers. I guess we owe them an apology, but I feel like they didn't lose, but they didn't win. You know, it's like Apollo Creed was said about, I mean, I'm dating myself here, but in Rocky II, Apollo Creed, when he's upset about, he wants to fight Rocky again, he's like, man, I beat him, but I didn't win. And that's how it feels all the time when the Steelers play and beat anyone. Yeah. They're just kind of just hanging on. I mean, you got to give them credit. They made the playoffs. Mike Tomlin just keeps finding a way. But I'm not overly impressed with this season. Honestly, the only reason they made the playoffs is because the Colts wet the bed. That's really it. They kind of backed into the playoffs.
Absolutely.
But still, here it is. Here we are.
Another team that I owe an apology to, the Tennessee Titans, somehow, yes. some way, clinched the number one seed in the AFC, even after losing Derrick Henry for most of the year. They played a Texans team that fought valiantly and looked pretty good. Titans winning 28-25, Titans 12-5, number one seed in the AFC, the Texans end the season at 4-13. Not a lot to say here. Titans, they took a little longer to do what they were set out to do, but they did it. Davis Mills looked promising, 301 yards, 3 touchdowns. So, and Danny Amendola had a renaissance game, 7 receptions, 113 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He looked like
I didn't even know he was still in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like vintage Wes Welker out there. It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Davis Mills is an example of a quarter. Like you just mentioning about drafting quarterbacks. I know that they were up against it, but Davis Mills, I believe, was a 3rd-round pick, and you know maybe arguably the 2nd best looking rookie wide receiver in the NFL this year. I think that's a great haul for the Texans. The Titans, they're just a good team, and it's time to admit it. They're a good team. They're not the they're not the Tennessee Derrick Henrys. They're a good team, and they're going to be a problem. They're going to be a problem. They're a very tough and resilient team. And they don't make a lot of mistakes. They really force you to beat them. And they execute well. They're a well-coached team. I really think I'm very, very – that's a team that I really owe an apology to, because I think I had them ranked like 12th to come into the season out of the NFL. And for them to be the number one team, very impressive.
And the last crazy stat from that game that I want to mention is that Julio Jones caught a touchdown in this game. Do you know how many touchdowns that gives him for the year?
Two.
One.
One, okay. I was trying to remember.
His first and last touchdown of the year was in week 18.
Mike Vrabel for head coach of the year, by the way.
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel, head coach of the year. Coach of the year.
All right. Let's take a quick break, because we still have – I know we were supposed to kind of blow through these, but, you know, as we usually do, we're a little long-winded. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll rattle through the rest of these games. I want to ask you some questions about some of the coaching vacancies, and then we have to look ahead to wildcard weekend. So – stick around. We're going to come right back on the Benchwarmers podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Benchwarmers podcast. Follow along with us on the Benchwarmers podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to review us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to the Benchwarmers podcast, where being all talk is actually a good thing. Now back to the action, or talk, I guess.
Welcome back to the program, everyone. I am still Lou Ruggieri, and that is still Jose Ortiz, and this is still the Benchwarmers podcast, already in progress. Go and listen to the beginning of this show if you'd like, iHeartRadio, Amazon, Odyssey, Anchor, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Show is moving right along. We've been touching on each and every game from Week 18. We were trying to keep a little more concise, but as Jose and myself often do, we tend to kind of expand on things a lot.
Yeah, we're talking about quarterback vacancies and everything. Yeah,
there's a lot to touch on. A lot happened, although some of it seemed very meaningless in Week 18. But this is – it's just what we do. So we've come to accept it. And so moving on, our next game, the Saints beating the Falcons. This game kind of surprised me. The Saints 30, the Falcons 20. The Saints defense is legit, and Alvin Kamara is legit. 30 carries for Alvin Kamara, 146 yards. And it just makes you wonder what the Saints did not make the playoffs thanks to your 49ers winning against the Rams. But that defense is for real. And if this team had even a semblance of good quarterback play, you have to wonder how much better they would be than 9-8 this season.
Now, you know who the Saints should trade for? Kirk Cousins. No. Or Matt Ryan, whatever. That's fine, too. That's fine. That was basically the same quarterback, right? Yeah. Like, let's just say, like, Kirk Cousins can't get it done in Minnesota, but maybe in New Orleans he could not. They absolutely need an upgraded quarterback. I also think they need an upgraded wide receiver, which they were supposed to have in Michael Thomas, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah, listen, the Saints don't really look like a very good team, and the fact that they had a chance to make the playoffs really speaks to how good this roster is and the coaching job that Sean Payton did. I'm looking at the Falcons. You've got to get rid of Matt Ryan right now. This is it. This is his last time. This is the last time. Next year, he's going to be Ben Roethlisberger. This is the last time you have a chance to sell this guy. You've got to get rid of him. Get yourself a draft pick.
Yeah, I agree. Falcons end the season at 7-10. The Buffalo Bills did what they were supposed to do against the New York Jets. Yep. Jets end the season at 4-13. Bills 11-6. They win the AFC East. Josh Allen looked a little better than normal. And once again, you know, Devin Singletary had a pretty good game, 19 carries, 88 yards and a touchdown, and the Bills win. I don't think that's a coincidence that when they run the ball effectively, they win the game.
Yeah, nothing really to add there. Bills did what they were supposed to do.
Yeah. Your San Francisco 49ers did what they were supposed to do and beat the I almost said St. Louis Rams, the LA Rams. And they end the season at 10-7, and the Rams end at 12-5. 49ers clinch a playoff berth, which is pretty impressive, I have to say. They've been on a tear, and I've been saying it all season. I'll say it again. Deebo Samuel, just unreal.
Finds a way.
Unreal.
Finds a way.
Passing, catching, rushing.
Eight rushing touchdowns, yep. Which is crazy.
And he has he has a few passing touchdowns too.
Oh, that's right. He threw. I forgot about that too. 1,400 yards rush receiving. I mean, look, this is one of those games where it probably would have been fun to have a camera just watching me, because 49ers go down 17-0 in the middle of the second quarter, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, what is going on? And I'm so proud of the 49ers. Let's just be a fan here for a second. Just to get the comeback. I'm watching the game. I honestly had given up hope. I was just like, all right, you know, I'm just going to play with my son here and whatever. Just keep the con. And then, you know, they get a touchdown. Then I'm going crazy. And my son's going crazy in the background, too. He doesn't know anything what's happening. He has no idea what's happening. He just knows I'm freaking out and I don't normally freak out. And, you know, for them to go and win in overtime and then get the interception at the end, I'm just jumping for joy. My son's bouncing off the couch. It's the most amazing day of the year, it felt like. Yep. And, you know, just the 49ers start off 3-5 through the first eight games. Really, really got things together down the stretch. And we'll talk about the matchup against the Cowboys later, but I think they have a great chance.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, they're on a roll. And Juwan Jennings, by the way, had the game of his life. 6 receptions, 2 touchdowns, 94 yards receiving. And it was, you couldn't have asked for more. The Patriots somehow lost to the Dolphins, which was pretty surprising. Patriots still make the playoffs. Dolphins do not. Dolphins 9-8, Patriots 10-7. Brian Flores, this was the biggest coaching surprise for me. But Brian Flores was fired after a 3-year stint and a very questionable kind of juggling act with Tua and Ryan Fitzpatrick last year. This team underperformed. They kind of turned it on late, but it was a little too late. Yeah. And not much to say. I mean, the Patriots should have won this game, but ultimately I don't think they really cared too much, it seemed like.
Yeah, I think they were just they weren't getting at the number one seed, and they're just like, let's just handle business in the postseason, rest up. A little bit sad about Flores. It's one of the signs of a bad franchise when you're firing coaches really honestly for no reason. I mean, what because they didn't perform up there. They closed the season. I think it was 8-1 down the stretch. You know, what else are you supposed to do? You have a second-year quarterback who wasn't healthy to start the year, don't really have a ton of offensive talent. I mean, Miles Gaskin is their starting running back, but that's not a good running back. So, I don't know. Nothing else to say.
Yeah, just underachievers. Yep. And is, you know, another team that underachieved substantially, the Seattle Seahawks. Although in the last two games, suddenly they've remembered how to play offense. Russell Wilson, 3 touchdowns, interception. Rashad Penny had the game of his life.
Yeah.
23 carries, 190 yards, and a touchdown. Tyler Lockett shows up. He became the early season Tyler Lockett, 5 receptions, 98 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And kind of all for naught. I mean, it didn't matter because the Seahawks are not going anywhere. The Cardinals, I felt like this was kind of a bad way to end the season if you're the Cardinals, because they are going to the playoffs, but this is, you know, a pretty, I don't know what, it's a substantial loss, I think. You're losing.
Cardinals are in trouble, man.
Yeah.
The Cardinals are in real trouble. Sorry to cut you off there. I just kind of was feeling what you were saying there.
Yeah.
Basically, the Cardinals are in trouble. Like, they've been stumbling down the stretch. They have no offensive punch. It is really reminiscent of last season, even more so, because they kind of fell apart down the stretch last year, too. I don't know what it is. Maybe Kyler Murray's just not strong enough to take all the hits. He's not a big guy. I don't know what it is, but they really don't look very good. I think I would be more worried about playing the New Orleans Saints in the postseason than I am about the Cardinals, honestly.
Wow. Well, we'll get to that in just a minute. Another team that's making the playoffs in the NFC, the Buccaneers, and 13-4. They clinched the number 2 seed by beating the Panthers 41-17. Brady, 326 yards, 3 touchdowns. Rob Gronkowski turning back the hands of time, 7 receptions, 37 yards. Tom Brady, by the way, ends the season with his second 5,000-yard season, 5,316 yards. He had 43 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. He is... I mean, he's Benjamin Button. I mean, what can you say? It's unbelievable.
Greatest of all time, no question.
And I think he broke the Bucs single season passing record too, because Jameis had a 5,000-yard season.
Oh, that's right.
Now it's Tom Brady owns that too.
It's so. Like, gosh, come on, you can't give him anything, Tom.
I think Jameis still holds the single season interception record. So I don't think Tom's gonna let him have that one.
All right, that's nice.
And finally, a game that just is baffling, and also, you know, I think the other team that could vie for most disappointing of the year, the Chargers somehow, some way, losing to the Las Vegas Raiders 35-32 in what was just a shockingly confusing end of a game. Both of these teams would have made the playoffs if they ended in a tie, and it looked like at the end the Raiders were just going to let time run out, and for some unknown reason that no one seems to be able to explain, Brandon Staley decided to take a timeout, the coach of the Chargers, and then the Raiders were able to rush for another about 10 yards with Josh Jacobs and kick the game-winning field goal, a 47-yard field goal to close it out. And then the Chargers go home and the Raiders move on to the playoffs. This game, baffling.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of questionable. So even if you look at that game, there was an early in the game where I think they went for it on fourth down and it was like on their own 20 or on their own 30. Like, there's a lot of these coaching decisions that I think sometimes these coaches get caught up in the analytics or whatever and kind of forget about just, this is a dumb play, right? I don't care what the analytics say. This isn't smart. And I think there's been a loss of that kind of gut instinctual feel for the game, and everything is just numbers. Well, if we do this, we have a 47% chance of winning. If we do this, we have a 48% chance of winning. So really, there's no difference. Like, no, it's not that simple. And I think that sometimes people fall in love with the analytics. I actually think the Colts are probably the most disappointing team in of the year, but I just feel like the Chargers got me all excited early this year. You know, I was getting hot and bothered. I was like, oh man, they are going to just destroy teams. And it kind of felt like every now and then you see them hit that potential, that ceiling, and then it was like, oh, well, guys, get back. What are you doing? What's going on? And they just couldn't maintain it. And their floor was kind of low too, like as far as defense. And they're gonna learn from this. And the Chargers are gonna be a dangerous team next year. I want to take a little moment to congratulate the Raiders on making the postseason and not giving up on this season. It would have been very easy to say this just isn't our year, and everyone would have understood. And here we are; they're in the playoffs, and they really no one else. I don't think anyone would have picked that to happen.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. The Raiders, you know, we kind of buried them pretty early on. I mean, whether it was the John Gruden thing or the Henry Ruggs thing, you know, just they had every reason to kind of give up, and they did anything but that. So I don't know. You know, it was just crazy to kind of see them. I'm not sure how they won this game. It just is. You look at the talent level, and I think the Chargers lost it more than the Raiders won it. But
absolutely.
However that works out, it's still the same. The result is the same. So congratulations to the Raiders. I don't think that they're going to do much beyond this, but they're certainly going to do much more than the Chargers. So
yeah,
very unfortunate. So out of the coach, so the Raiders have an interim coach, Rich Bisaccia, I think is how you pronounce his last name.
Bisaccia, so, I think. Yep.
Yeah. So there's a few openings that are going to be for head coaches next year. Jose, I want you to tell me which one you think is the best and which is the worst position to be in. If you were a coach, you were a free agent coach, you're, I don't know, whoever you want to be. You can be,
I think the best job.
Let me run through them. So for anybody that doesn't know.
Yeah.
So like we said, the Raiders, Rich Bisaccia is interim, so he may or may not be that may or may not be open. The Broncos fired Vic Fangio. The Jaguars earlier this year fired Urban Meyer. Dolphins, like we mentioned, fired Brian Flores. Bears fired Matt Nagy officially. The Vikings fired Mike Zimmer and their GM, Rick Spielman, and the Giants fired Joe Judge. So out of those teams, Raiders, Broncos, Jags, Dolphins, Bears, Vikings, Giants, where would you want to go as a brand new coach next year?
I think I probably would want to go to the Broncos. I like the young talent on the team on offense, right, where you look at Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton, Javonte Williams, at running back, Noah Fant at tight end. This is a team that really is just a quarterback away from at least just being competitive, right? I'm not, you know, like they were actually pretty competitive this season. So if they could get an upgrade over Teddy Bridgewater, maybe they can do something. I think this year, I think if I go to the Broncos, I probably get a year or two or even three to kind of get things turned around to find that quarterback and kind of move in the right direction. I think the worst job. The worst job is tough. I think the worst job is the Giants, because while they do have some offensive talent in Saquon Barkley, but he's not going to get re-signed next year. They're not. I mean, unless he's going to take a low contract or something, he's not going to get re-signed. Daniel Jones seems like a bottom 10 quarterback in the NFL. There's just not a lot of talent. There's not a lot of building blocks there. I think that's the best way to look at it. There's just not. Where you look at, I can definitely build around Kenny Golladay. No, you can't build around Kenny Golladay. You know, like, there's just not really that player. And so, of all the teams, it just, you know, even the Bears, you know, Justin Fields had some decent performances this year. Darnell Mooney is a decent wide receiver. The Judges just don't have pieces.
Yeah, I think out of all these teams, I think the Dolphins might be the best situation. And They have a good squad. They have, you know, Jalen Waddle is looking like a very promising receiver. Mm-hmm. They don't have a single great running back, but they have kind of a stable of good running backs. Miles Gaskin, Duke Johnson has made a return. They have Philip Lindsay, who's, you know, a 1,000-yard rusher at one point in his life. They have a good, solid defense. You know, Xavier Howard is a great tight end. They have two good tight ends, Mike Gesicki and Smythe. And you have the Tua situation, where if you come in as a new coach, you can get rid of Tua and draft another quarterback, and then you buy yourself that 3-year window to kind of rebuild and make it yours. So you have Stephen Ross, the owner, who's, you know, he wants to make a splash. So he's going to go after the big names, and he's going to try to, you know, help you get Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson or whoever happens to get down there. As far as the worst team, I mean, it's hard to not say the Giants, but I think that it's still the Jaguars. And, you know, Trevor Lawrence, a generational talent and all the things we've heard, but
yeah,
it just feels like that team is just mired in mediocrity. You know, it's not even mediocrity. It's mired in just muck. You know, they just have that kind of New York Jets fever where it's like, it doesn't matter what they do. They just somehow always find the banana peel. And I don't know that even a guy like Trevor Lawrence is going to be able to pull them out of it without some serious amounts of help. Now, granted, they have a lot of cap space and they can make some moves, but it just, I don't know. It just seems like they're just cursed.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I do like the idea that you have a rookie quarterback. Yeah, Trevor Lawrence didn't look great this season. And I was actually talking with someone about Tua, actually, but the point I made was, you know, in heading into year three, no one had Josh Allen as a top five quarterback. No one in the world had not even Josh Allen thought he was a top five quarterback. And here we are. And you have Trevor Lawrence on the team. You do have Travis Etienne coming back. You know, you're going to have another number one pick as well heading into this draft. So I look at the Jaguars and I'm like, hey, I've got 3 or 4 years where there's just nothing they can do. Like, you're a trash team. How much worse can I be?
That's true. It's very true. it's a low floor.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you do anything, it's like you win 5 games. You're like, oh my goodness, coach of the year. Like, it's just, it's that's the thing. And also just point out, I always point this out to people. The year before the 49ers went to the Super Bowl, I think that was 2 years ago, they were a 4-win team. The turnarounds in the NFL are so quick. It's just about drafting one or two players that hit, and all of a sudden you're a contending team.
Yeah, and the other team that I think, aside from the Dolphins, the Vikings strike me as a team that really could be something. And, you know, I know you said, you know, maybe blow it up and kind of start over, but that team is good enough to win on offense. And I think that, you know, keep in mind, they've had a defensive-minded coach for the last, like, three, 4 years now. So I think if you get the right sort of offensive mind and you draft, you know, kind of ironically, you draft some defensive players because they've lost a few over the years. Their defense has kind of let them down a few times. So, but they have an offensive group that is extremely talented. I mean, that's not, you know,
not
a low-scoring offense.
Not
so I think
either.
That with the right, it feels like they're right on the cusp of either being unbelievably unbeatable or they're just going to completely fall off a cliff. Which is sort of what they've been doing all season. They've kind of teetered on both sides. So
I would be worried about taking that job because of the expectations, right? You've got to be one of these coaches that just has like, if I'm Bill Belichick, yeah, I'll take that job. Like if I'm a Super Bowl winning type head coach, kind of like what the Cowboys tried to do by hiring Mike McCarthy, right? You're trying to capture that, you know, if Andy Reid came over, something like that. If I'm just a first time head coach, I can't take that job. I mean, I would take it, obviously. I would take it, but it's just the expectations are so high. Like, you don't get 3 years if you're the Minnesota Vikings.
That's true. That's a good point. All right. Well, we have a lot. We have a whole offseason to kind of discuss and see what breaks down and what happens with these teams. So we'll get to that as the offseason continues. But first, we're going to take a break and come back because we have to finish out this season and wildcard weekend coming right up. So we're going to talk all the games. We're going to make some picks with the points. So stick around. We'll be right back on the Benchwarmers podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Benchwarmers podcast. Follow along with us on the Benchwarmers podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to review us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. And now back to the Benchwarmers podcast with Lou and Jose.
Welcome back to the program, everyone. Already in progress, this is the Benchwarmers podcast. I am Lou, that's Jose. This is show 35 in season 2. Go back and listen to iHeartRadio, Amazon, Odyssey, Anchor, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Show is almost at an end. We touched on most of the games, all the games from Week 18. We touched on some of the coaching vacancies. And now it's arguably it's the best week of the year, best weekend of the year. It's Wild Card Weekend. And there's not a lot more fun than Wild Card Weekend, and this season is going to be even more exciting because we have an extra matchup, and we actually have Monday Night Playoffs. So that annoys some people, like Jose.
Yes.
We were just talking about off the air, but we'll get to that in a second. So I just want to we're going to go through these games and kind of make our picks, and we made it a little more difficult for ourselves. We're going to pick our winners and losers with the money line, with the points line. We use DraftKings sportsbook for our lines, so that's where we can, as of this recording, we record on Mondays. So let's just jump right in. We'll go right in order. On Saturday, first game, first matchup, Las Vegas Raiders at the Cincinnati Bengals. The Raiders are +5. Jose, who you got?
Well, I just want to preface by just like, I just don't think the Raiders can keep up with the Bengals on offense. The Raiders have found a little magic down the stretch, but I don't see how the Raiders keep up with Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. It's when they get clicking, it's very scary. That said, almost all the Raiders games have been close down the stretch. So I think while I'm picking the Bengals to win, I'm taking the Raiders and the points.
I'm going to go Cincinnati and give the 5.
Okay.
Because I think we've seen the Bengals, just like you said, when they're clicking.
Yeah.
I mean, they put up numbers, and we saw the Kansas City Chiefs put a beat down on the Las Vegas Raiders. And I think Cincinnati has a similar amount of talent as the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think the Bengals are itching. It feels like the Bengals are kind of playing with house money because no one expected them to even make the playoffs. You know, how many people, including us, picked them to be last in their division?
Yep.
And here they are. So I think that they're playing, they have nothing to lose. So I think that they're going to come out firing and just leave it all on the table. And I think the Raiders are just, they don't have enough firepower to keep up.
Yeah. I feel like I would have said that about them against the Chargers last week, though. The Bengals, to your point, though, the Bengals have scored 40 or more points 3 times this season. The Raiders have not scored 40 even once. So the Bengals can just be downright scary. I feel like the Raiders have a way of kind of ugling up the game a little bit and slowing things down and kind of hanging around and not letting it get blown out. But still, okay, so you've got Cincinnati. Oh, just really quickly, before you move to the next thing, I just want to, so with our Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is,
the final
regular season, the final numbers. You were 8-8. I was 7-9. The reason that doesn't add up to 18 weeks because we did take 2 weeks off during the season. And overall record, I went 146-91-1, and you went 140-97-1. So I won the overall competition. You won the Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is. So, you know, you're richer than I am, but I guess I have wisdom. I don't really know.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess, go ahead.
The Put Your Money in Your Mouth Is, we picked one game every week with points, one way or the other, using DraftKings Sportsbook. So I think that's how we ended up last year, right? I think I won the points bets, and you won the regular season.
Exactly how we ended up last year. It kind of makes me worried about the playoff picks because I'm clearly not good at making picks against the spread. But
well, I was slightly better than you were, but good enough to win. All right, next game, New England at Buffalo, and New England is getting 4 points. So this they split the regular season. New England won a game. The Buffalo won the most recent game, and this is in Buffalo. Jose,
this is a really tough game to call because New England and the Bill Belichick X factor. There's just something that he has in big games. But at the end of the day, I just think the Bills are a better team in virtually every part of the game. Other than running the football, the Bills are just completely better than the Patriots. And so barring another monsoon or blizzard or something crazy with the weather, I don't see the Bills losing to the Patriots. I'm very impressed with what the Patriots have done this season. They're going to keep getting better. But for this time around, give me the Bills and I'll give the points.
Yeah, I think I'm taking the Bills too and giving the 4 points because, like you said, I mean, this Belichick is going to come up with something. But I just don't know that New England has enough firepower because, you know, Buffalo, Josh Allen is just, you can only really take away one of his two attributes. You can either take away his passing or his running. I don't think even Bill Belichick can take away both of those things completely. So they're going to have to pick your poison. And, you know, Stephon Diggs, is probably going to get J.C. Jackson, which is going to be a fun matchup to watch all game. But I think the Bills just – I think they have something to prove more so than the Patriots. And let's not forget, I mean, Mac Jones, this is – he's still a rookie, you know, and this is more pressure than he's faced all year. So while I think he'll do well, I think that there's a chance that the Bills' defense is going to be a little stifling. So give me the Bills. I'll give the 4 points.
Okay.
All right. Now on to Sunday. I think this is the most intriguing game of the playoffs. Philadelphia at Tampa Bay. Now Tampa Bay has had the best run defense in the league all season. Philly has got one of the best running attacks since they sort of switched over. You know, they changed their entire offensive persona to kind of cater to Jalen Hurts. And what I can only describe as like a Lamar Jackson style of offense where they'd just be so run dominant. So you kind of have like the unstoppable force meeting the immovable object. And it's hard to tell what's gonna happen here because, you know, Jalen Hurts, while he's played well in recent games, you know, he's also going against Tom Brady, who is Tom Brady in the playoffs. Bucks are -8.5. So that's a big number. And it's at Tampa. So Jose, this one was tough.
Yeah, the -12.5 is really daunting, but I just don't see any way that the Eagles go to Tampa Bay and dethrone Brady in round one. I actually don't think it's going to be close. I think the Eagles are going to struggle on offense, and I think the Bucks. I'm taking the Bucks to cover.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bucks -8.5. I think that it's going to be. I can't bet against Brady, is what it comes down to. I think Jalen Hurts is improving, but I think Brady is just. I mean, he's Brady, so he'll find a way. And Gronk is healthy, so he'll have his big time safety blanket, and he'll make somebody into a star. And who knows? I mean, Leonard Fournette. I'm not sure if he's going to be back or not, but you know, we did see Le'Veon Bell catch a touchdown pass last week. So you know, one Raider, one former Steeler out, one former Steeler in, I guess. So give me the Bucks.
Okay.
In the game that might be the end of this show, the San Francisco 49ers, your San Francisco 49ers taking on my Dallas Cowboys. And this is, I don't know what's going to happen in this game. I'm not happy about it. This is also the anniversary. I think it's the 40th anniversary today, I think, of the catch.
Oh, really?
Where Joe Montana hits Dwight Clark in the end zone against my Dallas Cowboys. Yeah.
I remember. So, well, not really. I remember watching the highlights because I was like 6 months old. So
yeah. So your 49ers are getting 3.5 points at my Dallas Cowboys. And this game, I don't know what to think about this game. It's hard. You know, most of these games I can pick with my head. This one was hard to pick against my heart. You're taking San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, look, on paper, we texted about this immediately, right? Like, on paper, and maybe we disagree about this, but on paper, I think it's clear that the Cowboys have the better team, right? Dak's a better quarterback than Jimmy. Zeke's a better running back than Elijah Mitchell. The Cowboys have the better offensive line and better secondary. Even the wide receiver core, I mean, you can say fine, Debo Samuel is the better one, but the entire core, when you add CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, and...
Michael Gallup is gone.
Not Michael Gallup. Who's the other guy?
Cedric Wilson.
I think those three wide receivers are probably better than the top three 49ers wide receivers. The 49ers do get the edge at tight end. But the one thing that I think that really, really goes to the 49ers, and it's hard to see it on paper, but you can see it in the eye a little bit with the eye test, is coaching and execution. I think when I watch the 49ers, especially in offense, they just execute their offensive plays better than the Cowboys do. And maybe there's no way to really prove that because obviously the Cowboys have been way more effective on offense, just more yards, more points, all that type of stuff. But I just, from what I see the 49ers being a team that executes better. And I think that wins in the postseason. So I'm going to go ahead and take the 49ers to win. And of course I'll take the points.
Yeah. Which player do you think is going to be more disappointing in this game? Jimmy Garoppolo or Ezekiel Elliott for their respective team?
Ezekiel Elliott. Well, Ezekiel Elliott probably. I don't know. Because Jimmy's going to throw at least two interceptions to Trayvon. The thing is that, like, the 49ers don't really give up a lot of big, like, like if you're the whoever the lead running back is, they don't, the 49ers have done a good job of limiting their touches. And if I'm the 49ers on defense, I really do my best to just limit the running game and force the Cowboys into third and long situations, which is not, it's not rocket science. You do that against every team. But I feel like with the Cowboys, when they struggle to run the ball, they really struggle on offense overall. I'm going to still say Zeke because I don't think the 49ers are going to put Jimmy in a position to lose this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, overall the Cowboys have more talent offensively and defensively considering their lines. But, you know, I think the Kyle Shanahan, Mike McCarthy coaching deficit is pretty significant. Yeah. And like we talked about before we kicked the show off, the Cowboys have the most penalties all season for any team. And so that kind of goes a little bit to coaching and discipline. You know, it's the points that are giving me trouble here because San Francisco's getting points. And I just, I really want to take San Francisco with the points, but I'm just going to suck it up. I'm going to take the Cowboys. I don't want to have to root against them.
Yeah.
But I will say that this is my heart. My head is telling me to take San Francisco with the points. My heart is telling me to take Dallas. So I'm going to go against the grain here. I'm going to take Dallas, even though I don't necessarily think they're going to win with the points. I think that hook, that half point hook is going to catch them, but it is what it is. I can't not take the Cowboys against the 49ers on this show against you.
Yeah, there's no way. I wouldn't even allow it. If you had said the 49ers, it'd be like, no, what are you talking about? You don't get to take the 49ers, bro.
It's more of a hedge because then I would win. If the 49ers won, then I'd at least win the game on the show, and I would not lose.
Always one step ahead. Always one step ahead.
I can't do it. I just can't do it. It's the anniversary of the catch. We have to get some revenge. Even though I don't think it's going to happen. Let's see, something you sent me, it was pretty funny. There was a invitation, a party invitation.
To say, yeah.
Roethlisberger's retirement party at Kansas City this Sunday.
The internet's amazing sometimes.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So Pittsburgh at Kansas City. Kansas City is -12.5. And so this game, I mean, Pittsburgh, like we talked about, kind of backed into the playoffs. Kansas City, you know, has been kind of up and down, and they ended the season pretty on a high note. You know, their defense kind of stepped up. Their offense seems like it's getting back to form, not necessarily maybe at 100%, but certainly better than it's been in recent weeks. So 12.5 is a big number.
Yeah, I think we see an explosion here. I think we see the Chiefs just go off next week. The Steelers, they're going to be at home. They already destroyed the Steelers earlier, like in week 16. I think it was 38-9 or something like that in week 16. So I don't, it's 36-10. I'm sorry. I don't see any way that the Steelers even make this close. Give me the Steelers. Oh, give the Chiefs. Sorry. I'll give the points.
Yeah. I think at home, the Chiefs, I think, you know, Ben, I think Ben's kind of run out of mojo.
Seems like he's run out of gas, you know. They're just it's like they struggle to get first downs, let alone touchdowns. You know, it's a struggle on offense for them.
Yeah, their offense just, I mean, Freiermuth seems to be their big weapon, even though they have, you know, they have so many talented wide receivers, and they have Harris in the backfield. I mean, it just Claypool should be more than he is. I think, you know, I keep hearing the name Ray McLeod over and over again every time I watch the game, and it's they're missing something. Maybe it's just a younger quarterback. I don't know. But I think the Chiefs come out and make a statement out of this game and kind of put Pittsburgh to bed once and for all. So, yeah, I'm going to say Kansas City, even though it's giving a pretty big number.
This game is over by halftime.
Yeah, you might be right. So, finally, last game on Monday night, which I know upsets you very much. I'm actually excited. It's nice to see. You know, I like having one more game because it's the one bad thing about the playoffs, because it's just on Sunday, it's just over, and then that's it. So at least we can extend it a little bit, and ESPN can get a little more advertising money since they spent billions of dollars on the NFL. The Cardinals are at the Rams. Cardinals are getting 3.5 points, and you know, we kind of talked about this. Some surprising stats. I didn't realize that the Cardinals have been, I knew they weren't great down the stretch, but they've been really bad down the stretch, and the Rams were actually a lot better than they've seemed down the stretch, even though it felt like they were kind of tripping over themselves for the last few games.
Yeah, it feels like you keep saying Matthew Stafford going back to Detroit Stafford. I forget exactly the terminology you're using, but it does feel that way, right? Early in the season, they were just, it was like, oh my goodness, it was scorched earth. Like, who is going to stop? You know, they beat the Bucks. It's like, who is going to stop this team? And then they started kind of shooting themselves in the foot with some mistakes here and there. And then you've seen the carelessness with the ball a little bit, where they're throwing interceptions or fumbling the football. That said, the Cards are just, I don't know what they can really do. And all, like, literally, if I was them, if I'm the Cardinals right now and I'm game planning, I'm thinking, like, maybe I'm going to run the ball 40, 50 times. Like, I just, because Kyler Murray can run the ball. That's their best option. Kyler Murray, Chase Edmonds, and James Conner. Just run the football. Hold on to the ball. Keep the ball out of the hands of the Rams. We saw against the 49ers that the Rams, you can run on them. So, because if they don't do that, I don't see any way. And this is why I'm picking the Rams and giving the points. I just don't see any way other than just pounding the football and hopefully you have success with the run, which is not always a great strategy.
Yeah, I mean, until I started digging into the numbers, I was thinking that the Cardinals, I was going to take the Cardinals, because if you remember early in the year, the Cardinals put a beat down on the Rams, and the Rams came back and won the second game by a pretty substantial margin. So they did split, but it felt like the Cardinals, I guess they've had they started so strong, and, you know, we've been questioning them pretty much the entire year. And now without DeAndre, I feel like DeAndre Hopkins and, you know, J.J. Watt to a lesser extent, but it feels like they're just not the same team. And Kyler has not been playing the same since he's gotten hurt. You know, the one thing I do worry about, though, is, you know, Budda Baker and Matt Stafford, because Matt Stafford in the last few games has thrown multiple interceptions pretty consistently. And it's you know, it's in the same game, you see him make a pass and go, wow. And then you see another pass and you go, wow. And it's just which Matt Stafford is going to show up. You know, the Matt Stafford that started off on the Rams where he's just throwing touchdowns all over the place, or the Matt Stafford from Detroit where, you know, he's just giving the game away.
He only threw 41 touchdowns this year. I didn't realize he had that many touchdown passes. But to your point, last four games, that's 8 interceptions in the last 4 games. So
yeah, and he only threw 17 in total. So
yeah,
about half of those are in the last 4 games. So that's not a great way to end the season. Yeah, 4,886 yards he threw for. So a pretty good season overall. I'm going to take the Rams because I think the Rams defense, that big three on the defensive side of the ball, with Aaron Donald, Von Miller, and Jalen Ramsey, I think are going to make all the difference because, you know, at every level, you have somebody who can stop the Cardinals. You know, the running game is probably going to be stopped right at the line, if not by the linebackers. The passing game, it's Zach Ertz and A.J. Green, which, you know, if this was 2015 or so, this would be, that'd be great. But, you know, without DeAndre Hopkins, they're just missing that big play guy. And I just, you know, I don't think Christian Kirk is going to be that guy this game. So I'm going to take the Rams. I think the Rams they've been kind of tripping themselves up a little bit, but I think overall they're the better team offensively and defensively. And I think they come out firing.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said there. The one caveat that does worry me about this game is that since it's a divisional game, you know, these things are just, it's the only divisional game. And these things are, oh no, I'm sorry, the Patriots Bills as well. So these things are just kind of scary sometimes. It's very unpredictable in divisional games sometimes. That's all.
Yeah. So should be some good games. So I think we're pretty similar, right? We don't really have.
Yeah. Our only difference is I've got the 49ers, you've got the Cowboys, which is predictable. Not and sure. I've got the Raiders, you've got the Bengals. So we are going to probably be pretty close in record. No one's going to be. Because there's going to still be a chance for anyone to come back, basically, in the next weeks. So,
yep.
Should be fun.
All right. So, should be a good time. All right. Well, that's the regular seasons. Now we're going to playoff mode, which is just as exciting. So, looking forward to it. And, yeah, that's going to do it. This has been Season 2, Episode 35 of the Benchwarmers Podcast. And, yeah, that'll do it. So, for Jose Ortiz, I'm Lou Ruggieri, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.